3 years ago today, the Curiosity rover landed on Mars, beginning an exploration into whether the planet could have ever supported life and laying the groundwork for future human exploration.
The mission was supposed to last 2 years. It's since been extended indefinitely. The information that Curiosity is collecting could be key to what our next guest says is inevitable. Humans will live on Mars. He says that's not remote future. It'll happen starting as soon as 2027.
Here with us now is Stephen Petronic. He's the editor of Breakthrough Technology Alert, and his new book is called How We'll Live on Mars. Stephen, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much.
So that seems like science fiction, that humans will be beginning to populate Mars by the year 2027. How did we get to that point?
Well, we're going to get to that point primarily because private companies are taking over space, what has always been the realm of governments. In the past, only governments could afford to get us into space. And now private companies are ramping up like crazy. They're creating companies that will mine asteroids, and they are creating companies like SpaceX that can put people into space. And one of those companies in particular, SpaceX, has only one mission that it follows, and that mission is to put people on Mars. And Elon Musk, the CEO of SpaceX, says he will put people on Mars. He says he will be extremely disappointed if he doesn't put people on Mars by 2030. But in fact, his plans are even more ambitious than that. He would like to land people on Mars in 2025.
You're hoping this will happen in part because you call Mars humanity's insurance policy. How so?
Well, you could wake up any day, any morning, and look at the front page of the newspaper and see that an amateur astronomer has discovered a 10-mile-wide asteroid headed for a collision course with Earth. There's a 100% probability that a large asteroid will collide with the Earth again. We just don't know when. We know there are lots of bad guys out there, and we can't find them. We can't see them. I mean, you can see from the New Horizons spacecraft that we didn't even know what Pluto looked like. And most of those large asteroids will come from an area outside of Pluto called the Oort cloud. So that's one catastrophe that's facing us. If a large asteroid collides with Earth, everything larger than a rabbit will die on Earth. It's happened before. It happened with the dinosaurs 65 million years ago. But that's just one thing. There are lots of threats that face humanity as a species. Things like a massive solar flare directed towards Earth, things like a gamma ray burst of a dying star not too far from Earth. There are many, many things. The universe is a hostile place, and there are many things that can wipe out humanity rather quickly. So we need another place to go, and eventually our own sun will begin to enlarge when it dies in about 2 billion years, and it will either throw Earth completely out of orbit or it will radiate everything on Earth. There will be nothing alive on Earth when our sun begins to die. So if human beings as a species are going to survive in the long run, they not only have to get off Earth and find a place like Mars that's reasonably close by to begin to practice how to live in other places, but they eventually need to leave the solar system as well.
Now, let's say we can get there, as it looks as though that's not going to be the hard part, but Mars is not exactly the most warm and welcoming planet. It may be warm, but it's not planet Earth as we're used to it. So what do we need to do to actually be able to live there?
Well, we need the same things that we need on Earth. We need food, shelter, and clothing, plus one more thing, which is oxygen, because Mars' atmosphere is extremely thin, and it's 95% carbon dioxide. So we can't breathe the air on Mars, so we have to be able to make oxygen. NASA has come up with a brilliant machine for that called MOXIE, which can take CO2, which is a poisonous gas to human beings. If you breathe more than 5% of the air that you take in is CO2, you'll pass out and eventually you would die from it. But there's an interesting factor with CO2, which is it's mostly oxygen. So if you can strip off the carbon atom, you can have all the oxygen you want to breathe. And in fact, on the successor to the Curiosity rover, which is going to Mars in 2020, one of these MOXIE machines will be aboard for testing. So you need something to breathe. The average air temperature on Mars, the average atmospheric temperature is minus 80 degrees, so it's very cold. So you need a way to keep yourself warm. You need shelter with very thick walls to both block solar radiation, which is not blocked by the atmosphere on Mars, and Mars also does not have a Van Allen belt like we have on Earth that protects us from incoming solar radiation, and Mars does not have a magnetosphere, which is kind of a giant magnetic field that surrounds Earth. So Mars doesn't have a thick atmosphere to block solar radiation. It doesn't have a magnetosphere. It doesn't have a Van Allen belt. So we have to build very thick walls on any place that we're going to live on Mars, at least 10 feet thick probably, to just to block solar radiation. And then there's the problem of cosmic rays, which come from a mysterious place in outer space, and we also don't have the defenses against that. So early colonists on Mars are probably going to live underground, frankly. They're going to have to find a way to keep themselves warm, and they're going to have to create oxygen that they can breathe. But one of the problems they won't have a real hard time with is finding water. We've discovered from the orbiters around Mars and from the Curiosity rover, as well as many other rovers, that there's quite a bit of water on Mars. So now all of it's ice and all of it's frozen. It has to be melted. But early colonists on Mars will be able to find everything they need to stay alive. Over a long period of time, if you want to make Mars habitable, you have to warm it up. And we actually have strategies and ways to do that. That's actually current technology, not future technology.
So we're talking to Stephen Petronic. His new book is called How We'll Live on Mars, third anniversary of the landing of the Curiosity rover over on Mars. Now we're talking about getting humans there. And Stephen, you're not looking, and the people at SpaceX and other companies aren't just looking to send a couple of astronauts there. You're talking tens of thousands of people. Why is it important, do you think, to think big along those lines?
Well, if you really want to create a safe haven for the human species, you have to have a lot of people. You can't, even 500 people would not be enough for any kind of permanent human colony, and you wouldn't have the genetic diversification that you need over a long period of time. So you need tens of thousands of people, if not millions of people, to live on Mars. And Elon Musk, the CEO of SpaceX, is intending to build huge rockets and to start sending them to Mars as early as 2030. And each of those rockets is designed to hold 80 to 100 people. And he imagines that by 2050, which is not that far away, that he will have as many as 1,000 of these transporter rockets, each one of which will have 80 to 100 people in it. So he's actually imagining sending 80 to 100,000 people at once to Mars in a single trip by 2050.
Now, without having some sort of cataclysmic event, that asteroid on the front page, are 10,000 people really going to want to go to Mars and sign up for what you just described as the worst summer camp ever?
Well, one of the fascinating things about immigration and finding a new way of living is there are always millions of people who want to start a new life and want to start over someplace. We have some of the greatest immigration migrations occurring on Earth that we've ever had in our history right now. Extraordinary number of displaced people. But even if it's not people like that, there are literally millions of people who are, say, halfway through their life. They don't like their job. They recently got divorced. Who knows what kind of circumstances occur in these sort of middle episodes in human lives, but there are lots of disaffected people who would like to start over someplace new, and Mars is going to be very attractive to them.
Stephen, just a few moments left. If this is happening in 10, 15 years, would you sign up? Would you go to try to live on Mars yourself?
I'd go in a minute, but I wouldn't go without my wife, and I'm not sure she would go with me.
Well, Stephen, thank you so much for joining us today.
That's my pleasure. Thank you.
That was Stephen Petronek. We've been talking about his new book. It's called How We'll Live on Mars. The Curiosity rover landed on Mars 3 years ago today. He says in his book, we could see people headed to Mars in 12, 13, 14 years.
And Rob, would you sign up?
No. I'm such a stay-at-home. I mean, yeah, I can't really imagine moving, you know, to another town or state, much less another planet. Yeah, even though I'm a big science fiction reader, I'll gladly watch and learn about other people's trip. You?
We'll read Stephen's blog.
Exactly.
I feel good about that.
His Mars blog.
Coming up next, our guest anthropologist studies the origin of skin color and why it's become so important in our society.